You're listening to The Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast. It's time now for our feature interview, and we're sort of heading to Pakistan, but staying at home at the same time. We unfortunately forgot about the World 11 last week. We had so much hockey to get through, but we're making up for it this week, because on the line we have Grant Schubert, who is a member of the World 11 that played a couple of weeks ago up in Pakistan, former Kookaburra as well. Grant, it's a pleasure to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, really good, and yeah, good to be on the show.
Now, before we get going with the interview, I just have a little bit of audio I'd like to play to everybody and for yourself. Just it's from the podcast a couple of weeks ago. It goes for about 50 seconds. Have a listen to this.
Well, about 3 hours ago, three or 4 hours ago, I was on the drive home after picking up the little ones and saw, I don't know, from about 200 metres away, a pair of shorts and a singlet. I noticed a guy jogging. I thought, oh, geez, it looks a bit warm to be out doing that at this time of the day. And I thought, well, that's an AIS, Australian Institute of Sport singlet I recognised from a couple of years ago. Yeah, a few years ago now. And then beneath that was some Kookaburra shorts, once again from quite a few years ago. And this is totally unconfirmed, by the way, but I'm absolutely dead set certain that I saw Grant Schubert running up past the lights just around the corner here. And then it sprung to my mind that he's one of the players that's due to be playing for the World 11 in Pakistan in a couple of weeks' time.
Now, Grant, can we confirm that that was your pre-season for the World 11, that particular run?
Look, it probably was. Look, it was a little bit hard to hear, but I heard it was me running on the roadside in Cardinia here. So, yeah, I had been doing a few runs lately, and I think it was because of that they actually gave me a call to go away and play. So the running came in good and got me a trip to Pakistan. So I might have to do a little bit more.
Well, let's talk about that trip. How did it come about?
Yeah, it was actually I know Don Pryor, who was a very good umpire, back in the 90s, and did a fair few tours throughout Pakistan, and he was one of my coaches when I was still living back in Adelaide. So I'm really good friends with him, and he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame there in Pakistan. They had a few legends that went over, from Holland, and yeah, basically just came from that. I think Don saw that I was doing a few runs on Facebook and then asked if I was sort of fit and interested, and passed my details on to Robert Lathouse, who was organising in Holland. And one thing sort of led to another, and did a bit of research, obviously, with safety that everyone always talks about, and decided it was good, and headed over, and it was a lot of fun, different experience, but it was really awesome to go over there and play and meet a few people and play with some of the old guys that I used to play against.
So we had Ijaz Chowdhury from the PHF on the show going a couple of months back now, and he was talking about the plans coming up for the World 11 Games.
Yep.
And we got excited about it, and we've talked about it a lot, because we all know about the hockey hotbed that is Pakistan, or was Pakistan and wants to be again. What are your thoughts on the future of hockey there in Pakistan and the gateway that an event like this can aid to getting international teams there again?
Yeah, look, I think I really do think it's a shame that there aren't really any tours that head back to Pakistan anymore, and there's obvious reasons that have been put out there with the media and everything that's happening in the world, I suppose. But I remember growing up and you're hearing those stories from those international guys that used to play for Australia, and especially Don as well, about those guys playing in front of 45,000 to 60,000 people, especially in Lahore, and that's really something that's unheard of in the hockey world, really, especially in these days. You're probably looking at maximum 15,000 sort of throughout India, maybe a little bit more, but They just love hockey, guys. They just, it would be like here in Australia if you weren't allowed to play AFL or cricket in Australia anymore. They just, they're a sport-loving nation, and everyone was so friendly when we went over there, and they just need sport to get back into the country, because they're just looking for that positive sort of, atmosphere around the country. And, unfortunately there's a small minority that, I suppose wreck that, and most of the people, as I said, in Pakistan, they just want sport, and especially hockey, because it's their national sport, and we got nothing but I suppose just everyone coming up to us saying, thanks for coming to Pakistan, thanks for playing hockey here, because they really need it.
So what did it look like upon landing there in Pakistan? What's your first impressions and what happened?
Yeah, look, we got greeted straight away as soon as we got off the plane by the guys that were organising it. They shipped us through, and I suppose we missed a lot of the media circus when a lot of the Dutch guys and the Dutch sort of managers came in, that was looking after the team. So there was a fair bit there, but we rocked up with Juan Escare, from Spain, who's just a legend. And, my first couple of years of international hockey was playing against Juan and just amazed, I think he was probably in his early 30s then sort of thing. And he was just carving up. So to go and play with him and meet him at the airport, after so many years, was really, really good. And, we got met by media there in Pakistan. But I think it really hit when we had our first media conference, in Karachi at the stadium there. It was just before we went out for a run, for a bit of a train, and just to meet everyone. And I reckon there was, there would have been 50 to 100, media personnel with cameras there. So the whole little room was just chock-a-block, and the same happened in Lahore. So, the amount of media attention that this small tour, received was quite outstanding, and just nothing that you'd get here in Australia, I don't think, even with AFL or any of the big sports.
Grant, you mentioned a few names from the players that you were playing with. How was it when you, because you didn't have much time together, did you, before that first game?
We just literally had one training session. So, we basically met the guys. Some of the guys even flew in, the day of the training session or late that night before the first game. So a few of the guys there, we hadn't even, I think we probably played, a four on five game, just a mini game the day before the first game in Karachi. And then a few of the guys arrived that night. So none of us had ever, obviously, being a world team, had played together before, but there's probably eight or nine guys there that I used to play against back in the day, and quality players like Rob Reckers and Santa Freshier and Phil Burrows, David Allegre, who still plays. A lot of those guys still play, twos and stuff back home, but they've had a few months off like myself, and we're actually just ready to rip and get back into it again. So the first game was always going to be fine, but it was always going to be that second game, I think, most of the old blokes pulled up a little bit sore.
Playing with those guys, did you find that it was actually there was some sort of release in that you were playing instinct hockey? You weren't bound by, team rules and coaching ethos and all those sorts of things. It was just playing the game.
It was. Look, it was, it was always going to be interesting just, chucking sort of two or three players from, different countries together. But as I sort of said, they're all really quality players. So the first quarter that we played against, the Pakistan, was basically an under 19 team. So they're actually really good quality young players. And they recently played at the under 18 Australian Championships in Hobart, which they won. So, they had plenty of pace, just like most, Indians and Pakistan, kids do. So we sort of got run around the traps for about the first quarter. They scored a goal, and, we sort of tried to play like them for the first quarter, and Juan Escare says, come on guys, you're all a bit older, we just need to hang on to this pill a bit. And so we worked into the game, and the third quarter, we just held on to the ball, and I suppose the young guys didn't really know what to do, and we just held quality possession, and, took our chances inside the circle, and came away and won that game 5-1.
Yeah, a solid victory in the opening game there. Now, we talked a fair bit on the show about it was fairly late in the piece that they announced that it would be that junior side or a majority junior side playing. I had a bit of a theory on that. And look, basically it was, you'd probably get flogged if you were playing the full Pakistan national side. What do you think about the decision about blooding those young guys against some of you more senior fellas?
Yeah, look, it was quite interesting. I thought, yeah, we only found out, that it was going to be this under 19 team, actually when we were over there. So we had sort of, heard along the lines that it probably wouldn't be the full Pakistan team, because they sort of wanted to, I suppose, you know, blood, so to speak, a couple of those, you know, younger players coming into the Commonwealth Games that are very soon and the World League Series sort of thing. So, to find out it was sort of going to be, you know, I suppose that the younger team was sort of good for us old boys, because we know we probably had the experience, not so much the legs, but the experience, because, oh, look, I think there's no doubt if we played the full Pakistan team that the scoreline would have been, you know, would have been much different. But, you know, it was a really good hit out, and I think it was a good mix between, you know, I suppose different styles of hockey, because they were very, you know, like those Asian countries, are very run and gun, and it's similar to the Aussie style, but the Europeans are quite different, sort of holding onto the ball a little bit more and possessing it, you know, and probably making more opportunities up front. So, look, it was good fun, and look, I think a few of the guys would have loved to have played against maybe a few more, you know, older Pakistan players, and I think also that might have drawn the crowd in a bit more. So I think the numbers at the crowds were probably a little bit down because it was the under 19 team, but you know, it's they've started somewhere, and I think that's what they need to do, and the more hopefully they can get to us heading to Pakistan, you know, I think it's only going to be better to get you know, the sport back out there again, and that there is sport being played in Pakistan.
Was there much talk about the Pakistan Hockey League?
No, not too much really. Look, there was a little bit. Obviously, I don't understand the language too much, so I'm sure it would have been spoken about a bit more. And you know, there was talk about it, them obviously trying to organise it and get it going. And you know, that would probably be one of the first people to be contacted when once it gets up and going. But look, I think it's going to be pretty hard for them to try and find an opening window just with the way that international hockey is going at the moment. But hopefully they can, and you know, get a few players over there to promote the sport again.
Would it be something you'd consider, Grant? Or if, you know, all things being equal, maybe if you were younger or older, whatever it might be, but would it be something you go, oh yeah, I'd play in that?
I think you'd, look, I think I'd have to consider it, obviously being over there at the moment, and you know, just finding out where you're staying and all that sort of stuff. Look, I thought it was pretty similar, you know, to like going playing in India, really. You just have to be careful with what you eat and you know, the water you drink and all that sort of stuff, and obviously the security around, and you know, the same happens in India. There's always security around, and I remember when we first you know, went back there for Champions Trophies and World Cup sort of in the early, you know, 2000 and whatever it was now, sort of late 2000s, I suppose. You know, there's always talk about the security around those sort of areas. So they're things that you have to look at. I suppose if I was younger and wasn't expecting a third baby over the next months, that it might be something I consider, but I'm not sure the wife would be too happy if I went away for 6 weeks and left her with three kids, and I enjoyed my hockey in Pakistan. The week was good enough, but I'm not sure it would last much longer.
I'll tell you what, sounds perfect to me. they're back at school today here, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, the little one started our pre-primary today, so the younger boy, Jai, he's looking forward to pre-kindy next week. So we'll start to offload him.
You know, this is the point where all of your influence starts wearing off and all those other outside influences from the world start creeping in.
Yeah, I know. We're already getting a piece of that at the moment. But, yeah, no, it's all good.
Hey, moving on for a sec, Grant. What about your hockey journey? We're always interested in how people came to the game and what they love about it. Where did you kick off?
Yeah, I kicked off, my career started, I grew up in a small country town called Loxton, in South Australia, which is about sort of, 2.5 hours, east of Adelaide on the River Murray. So, beautiful little, sort of area. There's five country towns. They all have about 7,000 people, and sport in each town is huge, and each weekend, you know, each town travels to the other one, you know, either playing footy against the other town. So it's a real massive sporting community, and I sort of started there as a 9-year-old. My brother played, you know, I sort of just followed in his footsteps, I suppose. He was a goalkeeper, so it was only honest of me that I become a striker and I could pat him up in the backyard and just crack some balls at him. So I don't think I was ever going to be anything other than a striker with him being a goalkeeper, and just sort of went from there. You know, I suppose like most guys, they they progress and make, you know, I suppose representative teams, state teams and trials and things just sort of progress from there. Shifted to Adelaide, well, that was after school in 98 and, you know, was part of SASSI and was in Adelaide for a few years before, you know, I made the, you know, the development squad, so to speak, just outside that 24 of the Aussie guys in 2002 and decided it was best for me to pack up my bags and travel across the Nullarbor with the old man in my VL Commodore and settle here in Perth.
So in those early days, Grant, did you, like that 9 years old, did you specialise in hockey or were you multi-sport at that time?
Oh, yeah, look, I played a lot of sports, you know, all the way through, I suppose, my high school days as well. So through the summertime, I was more playing basketball, a little bit of cricket, but not a lot. I love playing basketball and I think I really thank my days that I played in basketball because I think it really gave me that spatial awareness. You know, tight in close, you get to see those little gaps. And I think that really served me well being, I think, you know, a centre striker up front inside the circle. And just being able to pick those passes. And I think you find that a lot with the AFL guys, you know, guys like Scott Pendlebury, they're those inside midfielders and they just seem to have so much time on their hands. And I think it's because of their basketball background that they just seem to, they know where that space is and move into. My dad was a big AFL footy umpire, so, you know, it's a wonder we sort of didn't get, and AFL was quite big in the Riverlands.
Yeah.
You know, didn't sort of push into that area, but my brother had broken his collarbone, I think 3 times, and the doctor basically said, look, if he plays footy, more than likely he's going to break it and he'll need to have his collarbone pinned, so, he advised him to take on another sport.
And he became a goalkeeper.
Yeah, and that's where he went. And then he became a goalkeeper, I know. It was quite ironic. It's, you know, the one place that's, you know, I suppose you're just getting hit by balls and, you know, diving a little bit. But, you know, that's sort of, I think, where hockey sort of, you know, took off for me. And I was able to, I trained with my brother for a year before I started playing and just sort of went from there. But I love playing, you know, cricket. And as I said, especially basketball and, you know, I played a couple of games of AFL footy when I was in year 12 for knockout and absolutely loved that. And, you know, there was a period there, I think, you know, going through year 12 that was pretty tough because I was travelling, you know, to and from Loxton and Adelaide to play in the top division there every weekend through my year 12 studies that I almost gave it away. I'm happy that I didn't, but, you know, who knows where the footy career might have gone also.
Oh no, we're glad you stuck with hockey, Grant. We're glad.
Absolutely.
So, where's your hockey at now? Are you playing some club hockey next season?
Yeah, just playing a, look, I think I'll have another round around in, twos and play with a few of the young guys. You know, you get old and you have a few niggles here and there. So just trying to, you know, starting a pitch is sometimes the hardest thing. So, I'm actually just really enjoying, you know, my running and stuff at the moment and feel really good. Sometimes when you get back on the hockey field, especially as an old bloke, you know, running over, bent down, doesn't really do wonders for your body. So that's where you start to get the little niggles. So,
a little tip, you don't have to bend over, it's okay.
Yeah, no, stay upright.
Yeah, I have to learn that. I have to tell myself to slow down, which is the hardest thing. So trying to push myself, you know, back into the midfield as a centre-half or a backman, and then I won't have to run around as much, I don't think. So, yeah, still playing twos with UWA. And you know, just see where things go. I think the thing is that, you know, I just love the game and love playing and I've been asked about, you know, coaching plenty of times, but I just feel that I've got many years to go, you know, once I stop playing hockey to do coaching and that sort of stuff. And I sort of feel like, you know, I can offer just as much on the field playing with the young up and coming twos guys through UWA and hopefully, you know, make it a smoother progress for them into the ones and sort of, you know, do my battle, so to, you know, speak with coaching those guys on field, and, you know, obviously at training as well, but, just still love hitting the ball around, that competitive spirit is still there.
Oh, I think for the lower grades, especially having players like you, it's great for opposition and teammates alike to know that you're playing against people of that caliber. Yeah, I know that, you know, fitness-wise, and that you might not be an international hockey player anymore, but you've still got all the stuff between your ears that made you an international hockey player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, people talk about experience, and whether or not, with team selections, do you go with, youthful, pace and speed and all that sort of stuff versus experience? And I suppose, you notice it more when you're older that experience does, count for a lot of things, and just your quality of running around the pitch, compared to running around with your head chopped off sort of thing, and not making those leads, as sharp, and I suppose not so long-winded sort of thing can make a massive difference.
Now, Grant, what are you doing post an international hockey career? You mentioned you're waiting for bub number 3, so obviously that part of your life's pretty full.
Yeah, look, once I got out of hockey, well, it was sort of around 2010, I decided to get into real estate sales. So I was in real estate sales for a good 5 years and just found that I just really wasn't enjoying it. And, I found that transition from professional sport, and, there's a lot of obviously talk about it nowadays, from finishing my hockey career, and then going into the work career, I found that really difficult. So I can, obviously feel people going through that transition, is very hard, because I've sort of, been through it and sort of still going through it, at the moment. And, found it really difficult to enjoy the real estate sort of side of things. So the last 12 months, I started my own business, doing aerial photography, with drones for real estate agents. So if they need a picture for their marketing, then I do that, and also I draw up floor plans for their houses as well, and then put that together as a marketing package. So it's something that's flexible, allows me to look after the kids when I need to, because my wife is a full-time teacher for the next few weeks until the bub comes along. But she's a teacher at Santa Maria, so her time is taken up quite a bit.
So a website to plug?
Overbeyond is the business, so you can look it up, overandbeyond.com.au, and have a look at it, and if you've got any real estate friends, then be more than happy to draw up some floor plans or take some photos, and it's all necessary for selling your house.
You heard it here first, folks. If you're in the Perth area, that's where you need to look.
Or even not, fly them over there. Fly the kids over as well.
That's right.
the great point you just made there, though, with regard to, what's the future for life after hockey, or whatever it might be for people like yourself in sport. Do you think we do enough as national associations to provide the building blocks for that next level, the next step?
Oh, look, I think there's always more that can be done. I think for hockey, we always had, athlete career, educators and all that sort of stuff that we spoke with. And look, I suppose for me and the hardest thing was all going through school, I really never knew what I wanted to be. So, growing up and getting to those later years in school with 10, 11 and 12, I just didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know I wanted to be a teacher or a cabinet maker like my old man sort of thing or anything. So for me, it was really tough because I never sort of had that set goal of what I wanted to do aside from hockey. And for me, sport was always my passion and just loved it. So, it was always difficult for me. And I think, they're probably the people that, sort of really struggle afterwards are those guys and girls that they just don't know what they want to do apart from sport, because it takes up such a chunk of your life for so long at that younger age that it's well spoken about that it can be very difficult. So I think there's always more, and it's probably harder for those sports that don't really have a lot of financial backing sort of thing. Yeah. I went through times in my hockey career when, I was living off, 30 to 60 bucks a week, trying to make things, ends meet sort of thing, and not wanting to ask for money from everyone, and you go for, two or three days, living off, very little sort of thing. So, I think it's always tougher for those, and I suppose a lot of Olympic sports, because a lot of the people that are involved with Olympic sports don't actually earn, a lot of money. There's a very few amount of few amounts of people that actually do earn some good money that actually go to the Olympics, but it's one of those, you know, they're always those sports that take up so much of your time. So, you know, it would have been much easier for me if I had a bit better financial backing, I'm sure. But it is what it is, and you know, I got to travel a lot around the world. I've got great family support, which I think is very important, and you know, helped me get through.
Can you see a change coming?
Oh, look, I really hope so, and I think, I suppose, you're talking specifically for hockey, or...?
Oh, yeah, I don't give a stuff about any other sports, to be honest.
I hope so, and I think, you know, as you know, it's well put out there now that it's such a sort of, you know, big side of things, and you know, getting that balance between work, you know, life and sport is obviously very important, and you know, obviously you find when you're happy that your sport life is much, much better, and you perform you know, a hell of a lot better, you know, on the pitch or whatever you're playing in. So I really hope there is, you know, hopefully for the guys, especially for hockey, the last 5 years there's been opportunities with the, you know, the Indian Hockey League over there, and guys, you know, earn a decent coin sort of through the years, which has allowed them to focus a little bit more, you know, on doing other things outside of hockey instead of just sort of trying to make sure they've got, you know, dollars that meet at the end of the week to let them really, you know, live a happy life, I suppose. So, you know, I think it's only got better and better, you know, as the media pushes it out there, I suppose, a little bit more. But, you know, I suppose that's the flip side of thing as well, that it is out there a hell of a lot more for everyone to see as well, depending on what situation you're in.
You mentioned media there, and of course you were one of the co-hosts of the Short Corner show that appeared maybe 4 or 5 years ago,
yep,
which kind of focused on local league, Premier League stuff here in Perth in WA. Any future in the media for you? Because I thought you did a cracking job on that show.
Look, it's something that, you know, I suppose, you know, that was one of the things. I suppose I had a few late injuries through my hockey career, you know, and those, I had a couple of commentary things that sort of came out around that time when TV was starting to get a bit more broadcast on the internet and those sorts of things. So, look, I don't think for hockey it's going to be, you know, anything full-time at the moment. Look, I enjoy doing it from time to time, and I think it's, you know, a different side of hockey. I love watching hockey, sitting, you know, alongside guys like Ashley Morrison, who are just, you know, just listening and sitting next to them. They're just, those sorts of commentators are just amazing what they do and how they do it to commentate live like they do. And I always love watching a hockey game with live commentary right next to it. It makes it a lot more enjoyable to watch, I think. And to be a part of it, I love it as well.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Ashley Morrison there. We don't talk about him much on the show.
We won't. I'll make sure I won't play. I'm not going to play with that, guys. No, you're right. We just don't want his head to get too big. Otherwise, he won't get through the door here to record his podcast every week. So, got to be careful with that.
He likes it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, Grant, just before we wrap up, and I guess this is a big thing, going back to Pakistan, have you got a message to Pakistan hockey fans and the hockey community over there that you can share from your experience and I don't know, something hopeful for them for the future?
Yeah, look, I suppose for them, they just, you know, they just need to stick around it and, you know, hopefully the best thing for them is you know, hopefully one day they can actually see, you know, the green shirts, as they call them, play back home again, because there's nothing like, you know, young kids watching their idols, and you know, it was the same for me growing up, and I didn't get a lot of opportunities to do that growing up in the country. But you know, whenever I remember as a young kid, and you know, going to watch the Aussie, you know, the Kookaburras playing stuff, and you know, it's with any kid when they're playing a sport and they want to play professional sport, to see their idols play, it sort of just, you know, it gets them more involved, I think, with the sport. And, you know, if you can say focuses as young sports, you know, sports people to really want to succeed. And for sport in Pakistan, that's just what they need. They just need, you know, professional sport to be played in their country again, you know, both, you know, if it's cricket and hockey, and that's all they want. They just, you know, they just want sport to come back to their country and play, and when we were over there, they were just, everyone was coming up to us and saying, you know, thank you so much for coming to Pakistan, and thanks for coming here, and thanks for, you know, bringing hockey back, sort of thing. So, you know, that's just got to lift everyone's spirit, I think, if that happens back in Pakistan, and hopefully, you know, the world can, you know, hopefully come together and start to bring sport back there. And, you know, everyone knows that, you know, sport makes everyone happy, and it could only be good, as I said. Yeah,
fingers crossed that it's, you know, just the baby steps that are going to take them forward, and we can see those Pakistan-India games happening again there in Lahore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I remember my first trip away with the Kookaburras to the Champions Trophy in Amsterdam in 2003, and it was an India-Pakistan game there, and I think the end score was 6-5 to India, but it was just, you know, amazing scenes there, and there was probably, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 Pakistan and Indian supporters on the other side of the field, and it just felt like you were over there. It's just, they love their sport. They're just crazy, and you know, they, as I said, they get into it so much, and it makes that atmosphere so much more enjoyable to play in.
Sensational. Look, so pleased that you've managed to get over there, and so pleased that there's something happening. They've improved on their media presence, and it seems to be heading in the right direction. One last question, yeah, Grant, before you go.
Yep, go for it.
Bring back the bully, yes or no?
Nah, because I was never really any good at it, so leave the bully out.
Well, edit that, chop that, okay?
Okay, no, the question's right. Do you want to re-record that now?
Yeah. Look, Grant, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. All the best for the University 2s. And number 3 coming your way as well. And whatever you happen to be doing in the future. Oh, the drone stuff. What was that website again? You wrote it down.
One more shout out there, Grant. The website to find out about the aerial photography is?
Over and Beyond, mate. Overandbeyond.com.au. Take a look. We're on Facebook, Instagram, all those sorts of media outlets. So,
beautiful stuff. We'll give that a plug on the socials.
Excellent. Thanks for your time, Grant.
No worries, guys. Not a problem.